It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome to episode 56 of the Rex Chapman Show with my super dope homeboy from the Lex Town, Josh Hopkins. Hello, Joshua.
Hello, Rex Everett Chapman. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Look at our shirts.
Go Cats.
We're we're showing our pride because we have an interesting guest.
We have a nice guest on today.
Put it right in his face.
We do.
How's your week been?
Everything's been good, bud. Just hanging out, chilling here in up in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And you're in Austin. You are in Austin, I see.
Yep. Yes, I am.
Hey, before we get too far into anything, book club. Have you read anything this week?
I didn't think I was going to have time, but I was flipping the channels. And it was like one of those old, like, you know, and I saw Bowser. Remember Bowser? I read Sha-na-na. Like couple episodes I read of. Yeah. That thing is crazy.
No, it's a TV show. That's a TV show. You didn't read anything. You're confused again. You're confused. Yeah, that's not a book.
I didn't read anything then. What about you?
I did not read a thing. I slept. Oh, did I sleep? I got caught up. Man, I got some Z's. I got Z's every single day. Every time I got up, I was like, there's a book. Straight back to sleep. Got my sleep in.
Sleep is important. It's important. You got to catch up on sleep. What are you supposed to read when you're exhausted?
You can't do that. Reading, what am I going to wake up, put me to sleep, reading a book right away?
Yeah, no. Got to sleep.
I read nothing.
All right. That's been book club.
Episode 56, Josh. 56. Famous 56s. There's only one.
Anything
person.
Jump out? Anything yes. at all?
Yes. I'm going to let you do it, though.
Okay.
56.
Bill Snifter.
He's
played high school ball.
You're being silly.
When there's only one of them, you know you're one of the all-time greats. LT.
Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
56. I mean, Michael owns 23, I would say, right?
Owns it. Yes.
Owns it.
He does.
56, LT, both Carolina guys. Weird.
Wow.
Both Carolina guys.
They own some numbers.
Yes, they do.
Chapel Hill. Yep.
Yes, they do. 56. Anybody else 56? Oh, I do know one. A personal friend, Chris Dolman. Chris Dolman, 56, football player. Very good. Very good career. That's about all the 56s I know. Not a basketball number.
Yeah, no. That's where I'd go me, Dr. J, if I had to remember, because I'm a five. So I'd go me, Dr. J.
Dr. J,
six. If I had to remember 56.
5'6". I'd go Jason Kidd, 5. Dr. J, 6. 5'6".
Actually, I'd go 5, me, and then I'd go 6 is 3 plus 3. So I'd go me, Rex, Rex. How'd I do?
Oh, you know what, Josh? Let's just let's get to our guest today. Both of us know this guy. Fantastic person. He's on the social media. He has some haters.
He's notorious as far as the Big Blue Nation goes.
Yeah, our Wildcat fans don't love him, I would say. Or some of them don't. But both of us kind of know him as a guy, and you cannot help but like the guy we're about to have on for episode 56, college hoops analyst for Stadium, 30 plus years covering hoops. We have Jeffrey Neil Goodman. Welcome, Jeff.
I love the full name introduction. They asked what me, the did. Producer asked me, and he said, Rex uses everybody's full name. You know, what's your middle name? I said, well, like Kentucky fans probably call me Slapdick. So you could use that if you want as my middle name.
Why do our fans hate you? I don't get it. Oh, and I don't think they all do, but some definitely do. Some of them hate me. So
you know what it is? Fans are fans, and a lot of them can't be realistic. And I've been very positive about Kentucky over the years. I've been very negative, like when they hired Clyde, right? When they hired Clyde, I killed it from day one. The end of the Tubby era, I probably hammered. And then I apologized to Tubby since, because what I didn't understand with Tubby and what I got wrong was that it wasn't apples to apples how he was recruiting. He wasn't cheating. So therefore, he wasn't getting top 50 players. So I apologized to him in person at Frank Martin's benefit down in South Carolina. I said, man, like, I feel awful because I was young. I don't think I understood it back then. And
nobody
did. It wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. The guy was doing it the right way, and we were all killing him for it.
How did you know Billy Clyde was a terrible hire? To me, it was like, look, this guy doesn't have a family. He leaves. He eats it and breathes it. But I didn't know. You know, I went out connected like you. Why did you know?
Well, first of all, I had known him. You know, again, you guys know, like, I came up in the recruiting world. So I knew Clyde. I had been around Clyde. I had seen Clyde treat people like absolute dog shit in person. So I knew it wasn't going to work with high profile players. Like, what he did at Texas A&M worked because he had a bunch of kids that had nowhere else to go, really. Like, they didn't have the elites recruiting them. Where at Kentucky, you try treating those kids like that way, and they're all like, shit, I could have went to Kansas. I could have went to I came here to play for this dude.
Right.
And then the other thing was, this is when I knew for sure. I don't know if you guys were there at that Midnight Madness with Clyde, but they had the curtains around them, and they pulled the curtains up, I think, and you saw his face. And literally, when you saw his face, when the curtains pulled up and he saw the crowd, it was almost like he had seen a ghost. Like, what the hell have I gotten myself into? There's no way I'm going to. He wanted to be able to go out in anonymity in College Station and get shit faced and have fun and nobody care. And you can't do that in Lexington.
They're different coaches, but it wasn't completely unlike what Eddie went through in Lexington. Eddie had more success, obviously, but he also was coming from, you know, Little Rock. And you couldn't do the things he was doing, you know, and yet he was constantly, you know, he was drinking and doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah, he was doing it. Jeff, growing up in Massachusetts, what impact did basketball have on you at an early age? Did you play? And how much of that was because of the Celtics?
Yeah, so you're not going to believe this. My favorite player, Rex, my favorite player growing up, you're going to like this one, wore number 22 for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Not Andrew Toney.
Wow, yes. Great call, Rex. Great.
Yeah, well, how old are you, Jeff?
I'm 51. Sorry,
I should know that. Yeah, so you and Josh are the same age. But, yeah, I grew up – the Sixers were my team. Like, I just liked them. I liked Doc and then Billy Cunningham, and they had Mark Ivoroni and Moses, and it was just a fun team. But Andrew Toney was my guy. Why Andrew?
Because he torched the Celtics. So I went against my dad. My dad loved the Celtics. Wow. Loved Larry Bird, loved them. And I was just tired of it. I was tired of it.
We're right to the center of Jeff Goodman. We're raw, vivisecting right away. All the emotions, his fatherhood relationship. This is fantastic. sorry. Keep going.
So, he was the Boston Strangler because he would put up 40 against the Celtics. He would have been a Hall of Famer. Like, again, the people watching are going to be bored by this. We won't stay on this for long.
No, they're not.
He would have been a Hall of Famer. He had the best damn first step. Big, strong. Danny Ainge, I just saw a clip the other day, Danny Ainge years ago saying he was the hardest person he ever had to guard.
Well, they didn't have anybody. DJ couldn't guard him either. He had such good balance and he had such good elevation. And even if you knew he was going to shot fake, escape dribble and pull up, you still couldn't smother it. He was a nightmare. But that was your favorite guy. Did you like the Sixers?
Love the Sixers.
Okay. Okay.
I was a complete, like I said.
He was like I was a Louisville fan growing up.
Were you really?
So, yeah. So you're it. I get kind of get the.
I was a Philadelphia Eagles fan. Love Mike Quick, Wilbert Montgomery, Harold Carmichael, all those dudes.
Wow.
And now, you know, I've always kind of grown up knowing I probably wanted to do this because I wasn't going to be able to play at a high level like Rex.
When did you know that? And were you serious about playing at any time?
I mean, I was a baseball player growing up.
Okay.
I was 5'7" when I graduated high school. So,
wow, really?
When I got to Arizona, I grew. So I would play pickup with, God rest his soul, Sean Rooks a lot. Yeah, and some of those guys at Arizona. And wow. I had grown at that point. I was 6'2", 6'3". And I was okay. I wasn't great, but I knew how to play at least.
Right.
Baseball was kind of my sport growing up. But I knew even with baseball, I wasn't going to be good enough. So I interviewed James Worthy when I was like 14 years old. I went down.
How?
Went down to the hotel. It was the Marriott Copley Hotel in Boston.
That's where everybody stayed.
And literally just lied and said, "Hey, I'm from my school paper, doing a story. Can you know?" Both him and Michael Cooper were like, "Yeah, call back later." So me and my buddy, we went back home, and we were like, "Holy shit! What do we do here? We're like 14. My voice hadn't changed, so I sounded like a girl. I mean, legitimately, if I play back these interviews, it sounds like a girl.
Oh, it's great.
I'm like, all right, how do we record this shit? Because now you got all these, you know, technology, whatever. Back then, we didn't have anything like that. Oh. So I had to use, you remember the answer machines with a little cassette? So I had to record it that way. I hit record, and every 2 seconds with James Worthy and Michael Cooper, it was beep, beep. And he could hear the whole thing. So it was beeping every 2 seconds with a 14-year-old girl, basically like who it sounded, asking the dumbest fucking questions in the world.
That's
who
gold.
Was your idol when you were younger? Like,
it's gold.
Just dumb shit.
But is that when you caught the fever for it? Was that like you never looked back after that day?
What did you like about it?
I liked it. What was it? I knew I could be good at it. I wasn't intimidated by anybody other than Karl Malone. Karl Malone in person intimidated the shit out.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Nice hat, by the way. I didn't know you were such a big Kentucky fan.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying with Indiana.
Well, we met your daughter. Both Josh and I have met your daughter, Talia.
Yes.
Josh, go ahead. Where did you meet Talia?
Well, Jeff, talk a little bit about how we know one another.
Story. I was thinking of this, Josh. I mean, obviously, we hung in 2000 in New Orleans, right?
Right, but it wasn't
before that.
For that, you I think contacted on through Twitter about because I was following you.
Yeah.
And then you contacted, a message.
Is this our New Orleans?
Yeah. But this is before that.
Okay.
But you. You said you thought I was really cute. No, you said that your wife was a huge Cougar Town fan.
This is true. This is 100% true. I'm old now, so I forget shit all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're 100%. We would watch Cougar Town all like religiously, loved it. And then I saw Josh was this huge Kentucky fan. Maybe it was in an episode. I think it was in an episode.
I always put stuff in there. Yeah, I always put Kentucky stuff. Yeah.
So I was like, I got to reach out to this dude. And he's like the only Kentucky fan that at least outwardly, he probably did hate me at that point. But he didn't admit it. He didn't admit he hated me at that point, Rex.
Yeah, I thought it was cool because this guy, the Cougar Town and college basketball worlds don't collide often.
Never.
I thought it was really cool. And then you came out to LA and you visited the set.
Yeah, Josh got me on. Bill Ryder, who's now, do you know Bill still, Josh? He does a national radio show for CBS. He's done national radio for a while. He came out with me. He will not forget to this day. Courtney Cox came over that in the middle. And she had like lost her voice. She had like no voice left. So she sounded like I sounded like a girl years ago. Yeah. She sounded like a guy this day.
And
he thinks it was hilarious. And we were hanging out with the other, I forget her name, the blonde woman.
Yeah. Yes.
Busy.
Yeah, Phillips.
She was just sitting there shooting the shit with us for like a half an hour while you guys were shooting another scene. She was awesome. I mean, the whole deal was like very, very cool. And again, like to me, hey, to be on this pod, if you had ever told me that I would be on this podcast 10 years ago when Cougar Town was going with Rex Chapman and Josh Hopkins, I would have been like, no effing way. No way in hell.
And I would have been like, what's a podcast?
Yeah.
We all would have been like that, right?
Well, I just remember because, you know, I was just like, I'd shoot a scene and cut and come over. I'd be like, who do you think the best junior high school player is right now? And do you think the cats are in on him?
You're out of your mind. I'm like, who is this dude? Like, why does...
Like, why does he know? How does he care?
Yeah. This is how it always works, right? I'm trying to think who else is like this. But Josh is like this one. I'm trying to find out as much as I can about his world. Mm. And he won't let me. He won't let me because he's asking these dumbass questions about, again, because back then I was so plugged into recruiting too.
Yeah.
I'm not nearly as much anymore, but I knew everybody back then. And
he's He and his friends that he grew up with, they know everyone. They know everyone. They watch all their mixtapes, all of that.
They're sick.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the same. It's the same fans as it was when I was a kid. Everyone knew where Sam Bowie was from. He's from Lebanon, Pennsylvania. How tall he is, what his sister's name is. It's just now we have the internet.
Steph Curry's record-breaking three-pointer, Jason Tatum's buzzer-beating alley-oop, Ja Morant's poster dunk. NBA Top Shot is where the greatest moments from NBA history are turned into officially licensed digital collectibles. NBA Top Shot has evolved trading cards by making it easier to buy, sell, and collect by removing the hassle of grading, shoeboxes, and shipping fees. You can buy or sell moments in a few clicks and access them at any time on your phone or computer. Your collection is always at your fingertips. Start collecting Top Shot moments in any way you want. Collect rookie moments from future stars like Evan Mobley and Cade Cunningham. Collect throwback moments from former NBA stars like Shaq and Allen Iverson. Or collect moments from your favorite team to gain access to exclusive perks. Grab your starter pack today and Top Shot will give you $20 back to start your collection and pick up some of your favorite moments in the marketplace. Go to about.nbatopshot.com/bballnews and get in the game today.
I had a spotlight on, you know, as a high schooler. I can't imagine having a camera when I wasn't playing. When I wasn't playing
right now. Imagine being Ronnie James.
I can't.
And the kid is unbelievable.
I know.
I don't know him. But watching him in person.
Not surprised. His dad's unbelievable. Correct. His mom's unbelievable.
Yep.
It's amazing that they have any haters at all.
You can't hate that kid.
You cannot.
If you hate that kid, I hate you. Because there is no reason you should possibly be able to say. The only thing you could say about him, and I've said this, is like, and it's more for LeBron. I feel bad for Bronny because I think LeBron's doing a disservice to him right now by saying, I want to play with him so bad. I want to just let the kid run his own race here. I don't think he's a one and done. So don't put him in a spot where I think the expectations are going to be so high that you're hurting him and his long-term future potentially.
Yeah.
Because as a dad, and I get it, man, I want to work with my daughter someday. In the worst way, I want to work with my daughter, but you got to look at it objectively. And a lot of fathers don't do that with their kids.
Yeah, but also a lot of fathers aren't the greatest, maybe greatest basketball player ever in history.
Very true.
Or second. No, I'm with you completely. Second. And I love second. That family.
You're right.
Second. Okay, second.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Jeff, real quick before I forget this. Well, I want to get your take on this. Where's DeJuan Wagner's son going to play basketball?
I think he should play for Louisville. I do. I think he should. And if I'm John Calipari, I'm not that upset if he plays for Louisville. I'm not. I just think there's only one basketball. And I don't think after watching him and Dillingham at the Peach Jam that they are going to fit in well together. I don't think the big guys are going to be happy because they're never going to see the ball. Never. So Those guys need the ball. Both of them are ball dominant.
You just crushed Josh, by the way. And I have a take on this too, but go ahead. Yeah, please.
No. Listen, I have fears of chemistry problems in that regard, for sure. He and Dillingham are you know, ball heavy. They both shoot quite a bit, but are streaky. Neither one of them is just like, you know, 46% three-point shooter. They shoot a lot. I worry about that, but of course, I can only think that adding the number one or number two player in the class can help, but you don't think so. No. You think we'd be better off without him?
It's fit. And to me, Dillingham's a better player. Like, I like Dillingham because he can make people better. DeJuan Wagner doesn't really make people better consistently. He's a high volume guy. Dillingham's got some high volume in him too, but Dillingham's electric to me. And I think he's a better shooter than Wagner. He didn't shoot it great at the PTM. Neither one did. But it's fit to me is the most important thing, right? Like, even with this year's team, and I'm sure we'll get there, with Oscar, okay? I love Oscar more than ever. I fell in love with him last year. Fell in love with him.
Get in line.
Right. I mean, he's the best. He is the best. He is literally the best kid in America.
Right.
But can you win a national title with Oscar Tshiebwe or Hunter Dickinson or Trayce Jackson-Davis or any of these traditional bigs on the defensive end or the offensive end for that matter, if you don't have the spacing?
Or shooting.
I don't know.
Or shooting.
Well, God, I didn't mean to get into all this so quickly.
Well, I want to say real quick, my take on DeJuan, or what's his name? It's not DeJuan.
DJ.
It's DeJuan's son, DJ. You guys are I know you, Josh. Your best friends in the world are your high school teammates. Jeff, you still tight with your buddies from high school?
Of course.
Milt Wagner and Kenny Payne won a national title together when Kenny was a freshman at Louisville with Purvis. Milt was a senior. Those guys are brothers. They're brothers. And this kid, and Cal's got a great relationship with Milt. He's got a great relationship with DeJuan. He may go to Kentucky. Kenny hired Milt on his staff.
Right.
I just don't see it. And I should say, I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm just basing it on my feeling.
It's his show at Louisville. But like, look at it objectively, guys. Which is what I'm doing here right now.
Right.
Like, it's your show. You're a ball dominant guard. Go to Louisville, average 20 as a freshman, and get picked in the top. I don't know. I don't know. I think he's got some like Cole Anthony in him a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good, though. That's good.
I get worried about those guys because they're hyped because of their name early. Or there's an anomaly, like the twins, the Harrisons. Yeah. They were, you know, number three and number five. Ultimately, it was about the anomaly, the twin. It's cool, and they're going to go. But you see it so many times. So I worry about that with him, too. But where do you – that being said – and I totally see, because I worry about chemistry problems with a squad like that. Where do you think he'll go?
I don't know. I don't know. Honestly, I'm not plugged in enough to be able to tell you on that one. Again, looking at it objectively, I would say you probably go to Louisville at the end of the day, because what does every kid want? Every kid wants to get to the next level. Every kid wants the opportunities. At Louisville, you look at that team and you're like, okay, not very good. We're not going to compete for a national title. But if you told a kid you could be the number one pick or you can win a national title, what are they taking?
We
know what they're taking. Right. 99 of 100 are saying, I'm taking the number one pick.
Okay, that's interesting. Do you here's a question just for next season. Who do you take on your team right now, to Amando Boycott, Drew Timmy, or Oscar Tshiebwe? Because they're all, you know, post players that, interestingly, there's not a lot of Boycott from Baycott. Carolina.
Boycott, huh? We're calling him
Boycott. But ironically, all three of them not high on anybody's NBA draft board, but the three
neither
probably
Jackson Davis of Indiana.
Yeah.
Like all these dudes now are coming back because, and they're making out because they're G League guys. Maybe they make a roster and instead they're getting paid more money by going back to school. And you have to love college to do it, right? Like Kobe Coburn didn't love class. So what did he do? He said, I'm out.
Right.
Yeah.
The rest of these guys, Hunter Dickinson is another one you could throw into that group.
But those guys are more valuable to Kentucky than they were to the NBA. And 100%. And I like that for them. I really like that for them. You know, what pisses me off is that guys like, we can name a thousand, guys like Aaron Kraft couldn't make money when he was playing college. Now, because that's his Knicks, New York
he'll
Knicks.
He'll make more money than you or I because he's going to be a doctor for years. But you're right. I get what you're saying.
It's just that part of it really crushes me. All of the, you know, Mateen Cleaves, you can go back. Guys who were stars for 4 years who could have, you know, let's just say maybe banged out $1 million over 4 years due to endorsements or whatever.
Look at Oscar. Oscar's going to take care of his kids and his kids' kids. Oscar is going to make so much money, hopefully, this year. Again, you know, maybe not life-changing, but life-changing from where he came from, right? And it's great. So to answer your question, Josh, I would go Oscar number one.
Okay.
Drew Timmy scares me just because he can't score over length and athleticism. That's what scares me about Timmy. Baycott is a rebounding machine too. And I love Baycott too for the reasons I said this to him this past Final Four. I said, you're the most – he called me out. I don't know if you guys remember. I called them soft back in November.
When they were soft.
Carolina was so soft.
Yeah.
So I called them soft. Hubert Davis, I guess, I found this out at the Final Four. He played the clip to them shortly after. Right. So I got the microphone, and I was going to ask Baycott a question, and he looks at me. He goes, I've been waiting for this.
Good.
And I laughed. Good. I was like, this is good. He was entertaining as hell. He did it respectfully. Like he was like Caleb Love. I don't want to say it was the opposite, but like Caleb Love, I asked him a question later at the Final Four. And I was like, what flipped the switch to where you guys weren't really soft? And he's like, I didn't think we weren't soft. And I'm like, come on, man, your own coach. Everybody admitted you knew you were soft and you didn't play well together. But Baycott was awesome. So I think he was as entertaining a person at the Final Four since the year of Big Baby and Joakim Noah together were insane.
Wow. Yeah.
I could have listened to those two dudes all day. Noah was probably, you know, high as a kite through most of it. Big Baby was Big Baby back then.
Big Baby.
They were awesome. And Big Cat wasn't that level, but you need an entertaining dude.
You sure do. At the
Final Four. He's supposed to be a great kid, and people great. I've heard that too.
Oscar's going to make it, and I say this to Josh all the time because no matter you go to any game you see him play in or watch on TV from now on, and you'll never get it out of your mind. He's faster than everybody on the court, guards included.
So hard,
end to end. When the ball goes, he beats everyone down the floor. Sometimes he's waiting on the guards. Yeah. And that's just, you know, it's want to, and it's his skill, but it's just his desire. He's as conscientious as they come. And I love that. Right.
I'm telling you, I could talk to Oscar Tshiebwe all day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeff,
last year. I went to that like media day.
Yeah.
So last, and I'm sure we'll get into this too. I went in last year because I hadn't talked to John Calipari in, I don't know, had been like 12 years. That we had an actual conversation.
Wow.
Other than like minimal, like as minimal as it got on the recruiting trail, but we didn't get along. Hadn't talked in about 12 years. And the former sports information director, Eric Lindsay, kind of got us together. And Eric is the best.
Good. Great.
Awesome dude. He got us together. So we had tried to do it even before the pandemic. And because of the pandemic, we couldn't do it for a year and a half, 2 years, whatever it was. So I flew out just for that last year. right around this time, maybe a little bit later, maybe a little close. Right. Mm-hmm. It had to be a little bit later, media day. So a couple of weeks from now.
Yeah.
And sat down with Cal for a while. And before that, the day before was their whole media day. And, you know, it was like every player, it's really good. Like, I wish more schools would do this. And every player, and I wanted to get around to everybody. But I found myself, I was over with Oscar, and I'm like, I can't leave Oscar. Like, I can't leave the dude. He is, his smile, his just like purity, everything about that kid, you just love. You want to, like,
the best. The best. I know.
He is. Talk about that. How did your relationship with Cal turn contentious? Like, and the fact that so many years, what happened?
It started with a
first of all, it's a tough business for late relationships if you're being direct, right? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not, listen, they don't like me at Arizona. I went to school there. They don't like me. They don't like me anywhere because I'm going to say it the way it is. I am. And fans,
you have
don't
plenty
like
of
that.
People that you have plenty of people that do like you.
They go back and forth. They like me when I say good things about
it. Right, right.
Right? But they're, listen, most college basketball coaches are thin-skinned. They just are, because there aren't a lot of people out there calling them out. They're kissing their ass. Like, I've got a K. I've got a Roy. I didn't talk to Roy for 6 months. Again, Sean Miller. I went to Arizona. Didn't talk to him for a year. Like,
right.
It's just the way it is. So Cal was a little bit longer than everybody else, obviously. There were a couple issues. It started the year Memphis played Tennessee, and there were 1-2, and Tennessee was going, Bruce Pearl was going to Memphis. And I wrote a story. There'd been a bunch of stuff that had happened within their program at that point. I think Joey Dorsey had made it rain in a bar. Pierre Niles had punched a fan at UAB. Robert Dozier had allegedly hit his ex-girlfriend. There were a bunch of things that happened. So I wrote a story. I was with Fox at the time. I wrote a story saying, hey, like, Cal, get your dudes in line here. Like, you got a chance to win a damn national title. Implement a curfew. Get your dudes in line. Okay? And I didn't have to dig for anything. It was literally listing all the things that had happened. And he had Derek Kellogg, his assistant at that time, call me. And he said, this was like, I wrote it on like a Wednesday. The game was on Saturday. He said, Cal told me to pass along a message that you're not welcome in Memphis. I said, okay, well, you know, you can't ban anybody from an entire city. So I'll see you this weekend. So that was the start of it. And it was fairly harmless. Like, it wasn't that bad. We had just gone out to eat, I think, months prior at Gus's Chicken in Memphis, all of us, Derek Kellogg, Cal. Like, I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was a fairly harmless story. That started it. And then the other big one was they were recruiting a kid named Abdul Gaddy at the time.
Yeah.
Abdul Gaddy was a top player from Seattle. His mother worked at FedEx. She had been at FedEx for like 12 years. And they had COO of FedEx was a guy named David Bronczek. He was the number two guy. And he started basically recruiting the mother. Well, I had the mother on the record telling me that this guy was recruiting her and recruiting Abdul Gaddy. So I was at Fox again. Their title sponsor, do you remember who it was? It's FedEx.
FedEx.
A hard one to get through. It took a while to get that story through.
You had to massage that.
Why are we writing this?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. What are we doing?
Yeah.
So finally we ran it. And that was the one that I think put it over the top for Cal.
Okay.
And he said, when we talked, we hashed it out. And he said, you made it personal. And I said, well, I probably did, because you tried to get me fired after at Fox. And I said, I probably did make it a little bit personal when you tried to get me fired. The Bostonian in me probably came out. Mm-hmm. And I was probably a little pissed off, as he was when I wrote that story. I'm sure he was. It didn't make him look good to FedEx. But I think, you know, bygones are bygones. And I said that.
Good.
I said, Cal, listen, man, I'm too old for this shit now. I don't dislike you. I have all the respect in the world for you. what you've done at Kentucky. It's insane. Now, we should talk a little bit about where he's at right now. Where he's at is a lot different than where he was a year ago.
Yeah.
But I have all the respect in the world for what you've done at Kentucky. And I would still say to Kentucky fans, even with what's happened the last 2 years, be careful what you wish for, because Amen. You had Billy Clyde Gillespie.
Amen.
God. It's maddening.
He's the perfect guy
for
the job.
Oh, yeah. He's not just a great coach and has had great success and made us such a cool program. And there's peaks and valleys. Everyone just wants it to be, you know, the best always. But he's done a pretty damn good job at making it almost the best always. But, you know, you don't know what you're going to get with the new coach. I don't care what. Now, you know, like Billy Clyde was a bad fit. But, you know, we all thought he was a great fit. But you don't know how.
Look at Archie Miller. Let's go with Archie Miller at Indiana. Everybody and their mother thought Archie Miller was a fantastic hire at Indiana. Yep. And it didn't work out.
Chris Mack. I think Chris Mack is a 100%. Brilliant basketball coach.
Yep.
Brilliant. Thought there was no way he could fail at Louisville.
It looked like it fit. And now again, what I will say in his defense a little bit is the year of COVID when the tournament got shut down.
What if
they go to a Final Four?
Right.
None of that shit matters the last 2 years ago.
Yeah.
The last 2 years.
He
got some equity. He didn't. And then the Dino Gaudio thing. Honestly, it was more comical to me. It was more
one of the craziest things ever. Yes.
It was. I mean, you're going to get suspended for what? For what? What did he do? He fired the guy and he didn't have somebody from human resources in? Like, come on. What are we doing? So you're going to get suspended?
Yeah. But again, you just don't know. There's so many circumstances mitigating that. And so people that are like, get him out, right? You know, that's crazy talk. Lost in the first round. People, Kansas is it eventually again, catches you.
What I will say is, will anybody be tighter on the planet than John Calipari going into the first round matchup this year? Anybody?
Yes. Me. Who?
Yeah.
Me.
We have no control.
If they lose again in the first round,
Not happening.
I agree, but oh my God. That's all I'm saying. It's like,
If lightning struck twice, it'd be crazy.
It'd be tough. Jeff, how did you, speaking of the Varsity Wildcats, how did a kid from Massachusetts end up all the way out in Arizona where the JV Wildcats reside?
The kittens. They had some good guards, didn't they?
Did you go out there because of how good their sports programs were?
It was easy. It was in whatever order you want to put this into. Basketball, weather, and girls.
Okay. All right.
And whatever order you want to throw them in, I probably wouldn't put them in that order.
But, my youngest daughter is a senior there this year. And I'd gone down there a bunch when I was playing in Phoenix. It's just, unless you've been there, you can't really understand. Well, you can't understand why the University of Arizona can recruit better than ASU. It doesn't make sense until you go there and you realize it's Lawrence like in its way. It's a college town and that's all they care about. And they treat the athletes like they're superstars, like they're professional athletes, right?
It was fun when I got there because when I got there, you know, it's like point guard you after a while with Lute. But when I got there, it was like Ed Stokes, Sean Rooks. You know, like those dudes, it was like the Twin Towers. And then
were you playing at Bear Down, pickup at Bear Down and all that stuff?
Yes.
Yeah, I bet.
And then it was like Khalid Reeves and Damon Stoudemire. People forget how good Khalid was. Khalid
really
was
good. Really good.
So, yeah, I got the bug there. I kind of got it here a little bit. Boston College wasn't bad when I was growing up. They were actually pretty good. Dana Barrow, some good players. So I got a little bit there. But, yeah, Boston's a pro sports town. Like BC could be 20-0 Yeah. And they would have been on page 11 of the sports section of the Boston Globe. And they were.
Right.
Like when Jared Dudley was here. Nobody cares really until they're 20-0 and Duke comes to town.
Yeah.
Back then it was Syracuse comes to town, somebody like that.
Right. Right.
Well, you went from a lot of the beginning was a lot of high school stuff.
Yes.
Grassroots. Yeah. And that's you went to all these the Peach Jams before they were Peach Jams and evaluated these kids. Did you have any sort of mentor for that helped you know what to do and get started? And also in your evaluation of talent, I mean, you didn't play big time ball, anything your whole life. Now, I didn't either. I've watched it my whole life. I you know, think I know it. And then I watch a game with Rex and he's like, oh, look at his feet. Yes, I'm like, yes. What? He's got great in his hips. Turn. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I just saw a guy bank it. And he's like a guy not even in the picture. He's like, oh, my God, he's going to be special. The guy that just stood outside. Like, did anyone like say, oh, this you got to look towards this or that or hands or.
No, so I didn't have anybody mentor me, period. I was always just kind of a guy that would be assertive, get things done, listen to as much as I could, right? Soak in as much as I could from anybody I was sitting next to on the bleachers, coaches, whoever, that I could learn from,
right.
You know, as much as anything, right?
Right.
The people that had played, the people that were coaching, evaluating. Listen, still to this day, like, I'm going to get so much wrong. I have opinions and I'm not afraid to voice them. And
when
you're that
does.
Way, you're going to get a lot wrong. And that's
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine.
You weren't afraid interviewing
James Worthy
at age 14. You said you weren't afraid. Where does that come from? Like, were you that way at age 8? Where
no.
Is your dad? You obviously, I guess what I want to know is, were you always outgoing? Did you have to get over being shy? Any of that stuff? Because obviously you communicate so well. And at this stage, you know, that's what you do. Your relationships are everything. Were you always very social?
No. As a matter of fact, like I would cover games. When I broke in, I was freelancing for a little bit of everybody, freelancing for the Associated Press here in Boston, started covering like Harvard basketball games, then would cover some Red Sox, some Patriots, Bruins, everything, you name it, Celtics. And I remember still to this day, like I would go up in the press box for Red Sox games and everybody kind of knew everybody. And I would just kind of put my head down and watch and learn and just not really say a whole lot. And like, you got to know where your place is, you know, like even I remember like 7-8 years ago, I'm out at the Peach Jam outside and it's like Bob Huggins, Frank Martin, Andy Kennedy. Okay. And they're telling stories. You know how many words I said that night? Like maybe 5, maybe 5. I knew like you don't talk. You listen, you listen to those stories and they're phenomenal and you can never repeat them. But they're phenomenal. You have to know your place. And at that point in my career, I knew my place. My place was just to kind of watch and learn from guys like Tony Maserati, who has really made it here in Boston and done a great job covering the Red Sox and everything. And guys like Gordon Eads was up in the press box then, who again was a national guy. Bob Ryan. I mean, listen, I'm doing a podcast now with Bob Ryan on a weekly. Bob Ryan was my idol.
That's great. That's
like
great.
My idol.
So we're doing the same thing. I'm doing one with Rex.
Right.
It's like, I get it.
Right.
I get it.
Right. It's like, I don't care how annoying Rex Chapman is right now. I'm gonna do this damn podcast till he says he's not doing it anymore. Right.
This podcast is brought to you by Branded Bills, the best place online for premium headwear and apparel. Branded Bills has hundreds of designs available, including our popular state collection, where you can show your pride with hats, shirts, hoodies, and more for all 50 states. Are you a company looking to brand your business? Branded Bills also offers custom apparel options that can meet your brand standards with fast turnaround and shipping. To shop or learn more, visit brandedbills.com today.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Jeff, you and I have someone that both in our past, a mutual friend, and I don't know if you know, I grew up idolizing him and then played against him and then was coached by him for a year or two. Derek Smith. Oh. And you came across Derek. And Derek passed away the summer that he was coaching with us. But I'd spent a year or two with him as a player where he was coaching me two of the best years. And I almost want to cry thinking about it just because Nolan had just been born. Nolan, his son, who was at Duke, obviously had a great career at Duke. And now he's at Louisville as an assistant coach. Talk to me about, when you crossed paths with Derek for the first time.
So again, it was like shortly after the James Worthy deal. I was probably 15, maybe 16. I was maybe 16. Derek Smith took me out to lunch and spent 2 hours with me when I was like 16 years old. The nicest beautiful. Human, like
he's the nicest like human ever. Yes.
I'm like you. I like tears. And that's why, honestly, with Nolan Smith, like I've known Nolan a long, long time, I would do anything for that kid. Because
same.
When somebody does something for you or for me, more my daughter now, right? Like if Scott Drew, I'll give you a great example, guys. Scott Drew. I'd like to say I'm objective with
friend of the show.
This dude, nobody on the planet has been nicer to my daughter who has tried to break in. This is a girl who has her first 14 years wanted to be a theater girl. Okay. And then she flipped it. She didn't like sports. She would come to games with me, and I don't even know what she was looking at, but it was not the court. Okay. I remember went to a Red Sox game once. The girl was playing cards in the stands with my niece. Had no interest. All of a sudden it flips about five years ago. And Scott Drew was her biggest supporter. And he was like, anytime she wants to interview me, and we're on a text thread. He texts her all the time, not me, her. So number one was he wins the national title. And the next morning he texts Talia. Next morning, wins it on a Monday, texts her on a Tuesday. When are we doing our interview? He did it with her that Thursday.
Wow.
Then he says, you got to come out to Baylor. You know, we're going through all our school visits and she's looking at, a lot of Big Ten schools at this point. And she wasn't going to go to Baylor. She wasn't. And he knew that. But he's like, come on out. So we come out for a game. Fantastic. He treats her like a recruit. Yeah. Here was the kicker. This did it for me. He's got two sons and a daughter. His daughter is a freshman at Baylor. Same age as Talia. He says, all right, here's what we're going to do. I've never done this before. We're going to go out, the four of us, for dinner. This is the night before the Texas game. The night before the Texas game in Waco. We go out for dinner, the four of us, at some steak place there for 3 hours. You know how many times he looked at his phone? Not once. The entire time. Then he bought roses.
Now it's kind of creepy. Now it's like, come on, dude.
No,
robot.
That's the thing. It's elite. That's the thing. He until you're Josh and I had him on, and I worked with Scott. Oh,
he's
recently.
A dork.
But he's a star. He's a star on TV. Yes. He's going to be a star whenever he decides to get out of it. He's one of those guys. He's one of those guys you think that this is bullshit. There's nobody can be that well, you know, adjusted.
That was the MO on him. When I was recruiting 15 years ago, every coach in America was like, this dude is full of shit. There's no way he can be this nice. There's no way he can be this happy. And I'm here to tell you, it's legit. It's genuine. All of it. And again, listen, I'm going to be objective because that's what I am. I put Paul Hewitt is the coach I probably am closest with and have been over the years. I put him in the hot seat two times. Okay. Put him in the hot seat twice. You have to. You got to be honest. So if Scott Drew, but like, what do you got to say negative about Scott Drew right now? Zero. You can't.
Right. Right. What would you, this upcoming season, is it the year of the big? What is it in college? It is.
It's the year of the big. That's the easy, kind of mantra with this year. But I think there's so many storylines with it. Again, I think, you know, Duke, John Shire, right? I mean, that's what you want to look at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rookie head coach. I can't even imagine what that's going to look like, right?
Dude, what a class.
Is K at every game, like every
he
home
says
game?
He's not going to be at any. And I think it's the dumbest thing ever. Like, why are you going to go overboard? If you want to go to a game, go to a damn game. Sit behind the bench if you want to. Maybe you wait. You don't go to the first game. But
I bet bet he'll go. Maybe he's just saying.
He said he wasn't, I guess.
Yeah.
But that's one storyline. Is Carolina the Carolina we saw in the NCAA tournament? Or are they the Carolina that was mediocre for 90% of the year last year?
Right.
Is Kentucky going to do something and win a game in the NCAA tournament for the first time.
easy
there.
There's a lot, guys. I'm excited just thinking about it.
Yeah, I know. And I love seeing just how enthusiastic you are. And that's why you're great at what you do.
What's IU going to do? Because I've got a soft spot for Indiana. I was recruited by Bobby way back in the day, watched a ton of Big Ten basketball.
Could you have made it playing for Bobby? Mm-hmm. No,
I mean, he was kind of like my dad, and I barely made it in his house. I love Assembly Hall. And college basketball is just better when Indiana is good. Yes. And, you know, Kentucky's always had such a great rivalry with Indiana. Growing up, yes, Kentucky-Louisville was a big thing, but they didn't really play. They hadn't played in years. Kentucky-Indiana was a huge thing. And Indiana-Louisville was a good, matchup. So I root for Indiana. How's Indiana going to be this year?
Listen, I root for Indiana because of my 50 grand I'm paying a year.
Right? I hear you.
That's why I root for Indiana. I hear you. It's so weird because when they hired Mike Woodson, I told you guys this before I came on, like nothing's off limits for me. Like,
yeah.
I'll listen to my detriment. I'll probably be too honest. So when they hired Mike Woodson, I said, 63-year-old head coach who's never been in college. Like, I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. And I said, unless he gets a really good staff. I always learn that now, right?
Yeah,
like right. Staff can
there you go.
Up for maybe not being plugged in enough or working hard enough. Because generally, let's face it, a lot of these former NBA players and coaches that come over to college don't understand. I don't want to say work ethic because they do. It's just different.
It's different.
Brad Stevens told me when he took the job here in Boston, he was like, nobody calls me anymore.
Yeah.
I'm looking for people to talk to now. And I drive home and I got nobody calling me. I don't have to call anybody. It's a different ballgame when you have to be on the phone with recruits all the time, 24/7. Yeah. So I said, like Mike Woodson, I'm not really bought into it. And then I wrote a story with about 50 examples of former NBA Chris Mullin. I mean, you
Avery. Probably not Avery yet, but yeah, I'm with
Avery,
I get
yeah,
it.
Avery wasn't good. Yeah. Mark Price. Yeah. I mean, you yeah. name
it's
it.
It's hard.
There are 90% of them. Like Damon Stoudemire was actually one of the good ones at Pacific.
He Patrick's finding it out now. Patrick, you know, at Georgetown, it's a really hard, you know, and this is an important year for him. I root for Patrick no matter what. He's a friend. But Patrick. Also, it's a different work. And you're not, yes, there's some ass kissing that goes on in the professional ranks. Not like this.
Not kissing and 16 not
when,
year old's ass.
And not when right? you're kissing. Yeah. Their, you're not kissing, though, your players. Asses parents asses right, in the pros right. you know you're it's just it's different and it, in many ways the NBA is much easier
yeah
I hope Indiana's good. I do, just because the better they are, the more I can justify getting out to Bloomington and my daughter
there you go
you know, not being able. I think she'll be fine anyway, as long as I give her money and yeah. her a good meal. Yeah. I think she'll be fine anyway.
She
I'll
will
find out. I'm going out there literally, you know, this weekend for parents' weekend.
Great.
I gotta have a little
that's
talk
great
well, football gotta, game
yeah
you got well, a football
if
game
if you want to call what Indiana plays football.
Hey, how about the Cats football team, huh?
Unbelievable. Like
best in my lifetime as a sustained program. In my entire lifetime, this is it. What, right now what Stoops has done.
What do you make of the whole football school, basketball school thing?
I think it's entertaining. Like, I like, you know me, I like pushing the buttons a little bit, right? Like, it's entertaining to me. It's always going to be a basketball school.
I don't think what he said was wrong. Okay, here's my point.
Go ahead.
We are in basketball, we're Alabama, right. correct?
100%.
I mean, is that even okay? And everybody
have
that's recruiting
level of success, but
right. But yes. as that team at the top,
totally.
I think that's all he was saying. We're still in football. We are getting, we're in the top half of the SEC and we're beating teams like Florida now. It's amazing, but we're still shooting to be Alabama. And that's all I thought he said. Yes. Maybe he said it in a weird way or an insensitive way, but
whatever.
The great thing is I've seen those guys out before. They like each other.
Yeah. They may not love each other today. Yeah. Today they probably have a little bit of massaging in their relationship that they need to do. But like at the end of the day, I think Stoops understands. And he probably is a little pissed off of like, hey Cal, like you get whatever you want there. Everybody treats you, you know, and Cal saying like, well, I want a better practice facility, which I think is so overblown anyway. Like
you think
these practice facilities now, it's a bunch of bullshit. I was just at Texas Tech last year. The thing's ridiculous. It's got like six huge, huge screens. It's too much. Like now they're not going to happen as much anymore with NIL, by the way. Like those aren't going to be what they've been over the last 5-10 years, because the money that was coming in for that is now going to players.
Right. Do you remember, did you ever see any games? Have you been in Old Memorial Coliseum at UK?
No. Never.
Okay. Well, it's where our Lady Cats play now, but it's very traditional.
Lady Cats.
Isn't that what they're called? Yes.
No, it's called Kentucky.
You call it the Lady Cats. No, they're the Lady Cats.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Anyway, that's what they used to be called.
They did. But Valerie Still.
It's an old building, but it's great. That was where we practiced, and we had a universal machine under the bleachers, a universal weight machine. My freshman year at Kentucky, under the bleachers at UK. And when you talk about the overblown practice facilities,
right.
You only need so much. You got pretty good players, right?
It's all an arms race, though. These coaches are all like, well, he's got it. Providence has got this ridiculous practice facility. So if Providence does, Danny Hurley's saying, well, like at UConn, we need it. We need better than Providence because we are a better program than, like, come on. Like,
right.
Ugh, right. I don't know.
Jeff, what's your favorite movie?
No, Rex. I got him for a second. Okay. You got us. You got us.
All right.
In your preseason ranking 7. Is that right?
Yeah.
Explain yourself.
Who's better?
What do you mean who's better? Like, first of all, you can throw a bunch in a hat, but I just want to, like, who's making,
I realize that.
Like if CJ Frederick's not healthy, if CJ Frederick isn't, and we don't know yet if he is, who is making shots from the perimeter? Like, where's the spacing on this team, Rex?
I understand that, but you
know
see
him
that
better
with,
than I
with
do
every team. No, you see you that can't. There's weaknesses with that with every Sevier, team in that regard.
Sevier can't shoot. Mm-hmm. Oscar can't shoot.
Fair.
Cason Wallace is not a great shooter from what I remember seeing him on the circuit. Mm-hmm. He is the toughest MF-er. I love him. I love
you
do, him.
You told me that a long time ago. You said you love
too.
Him.
I love do, him. Too. That's really why I like this team. Watching him play in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
He's a basketball player. Like,
a badass.
I really like him better. Oof. Yeah. I like him better, just the way he plays, than I liked our kid last year who ended up being a first-round pick, Ty. And I really like Ty.
Ty was just better than he showed.
I know that.
The ball in his hands more.
I understand that. I'm just saying this kid, he's got to know. He doesn't have to get somebody. He's always around the ball, finds his way to the ball, both You're ends right. of the court, and makes really good decisions.
But Ty could do this.
Agreed.
I feel like
Agreed.
He didn't have the ability to do this enough because the ball was in Sevier's hands too much.
Agreed.
I'm just saying we have the unanimous player of the year. We have the third leading assist player at both of them back at center and point guard. Yeah.
We're playing over the top with what's his name? With
Damian Collins.
Damian Collins.
I like Damian.
Yeah.
I like Damian.
Yeah. And then Toppin another year. The Antonio Reeves.
Toppin can't shoot. Toppin can't really shoot.
He's a really good college player.
Three of the five guys in the starting lineup cannot shoot the ball consistently from outside of 15 feet. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, hopefully
you're not.
We'll see. But so Antonio Reeves is a pretty good shooter.
TJ Frederick might be the most important player on this team.
I agree with that. I can agree with that.
I played against CJ's uncle. Joe Frederick. Joe Frederick really? Played at Notre Dame with David Rivers. He was, but they were backcourt mates.
All right, and put you
I
on
look
the spot,
at fit, Josh. Josh, I, listen.
I get that. I just wanted to hear. Those are all legitimate rights. I wanted to hear it from you.
That's why with DJ Wagner, it's not about talent. Of course, everybody's killing me on Twitter. Like, well, how could you not take? Look at all the talent they have. That's great. Like Rex, you know that. Like, you can have all the talent in the world. Yeah. But if you don't have good fit, roles, all of it, chemistry, I don't think chemistry is going to be a problem with this team. My biggest problem is you can't win at the highest level if you don't have enough shooting. And the other thing is defensively, is Oscar a liability at times? Yes, he is.
Just because you're going to put him in, he's going to be the pick on guy every time down the road. You're going to try to get him in a high pick and roll, get him to switch, and then go right at his feet, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So there are weaknesses with every team. There are weaknesses with every team.
Yes, but
perimeter shooting is your weakness. Is Indiana, same thing, guys. Indiana can't shoot. They don't have
you still got to score. Okay, last thing before we wind her down. Say Cal decides to retire after this year. Oof. Let's say about three guys you think that would, because not just great coaches, that would be a fit. You talk about fit. And you know it's tough in Lexington. You got to be the mayor as well. Yeah. You know, you can't that black thing can't come up at Midnight Madness and you freeze like Cindy Brady. You got to have a guy that is there for it. So
I would say one guy like Scott Drew, he might be a little too nice in a way, but like he could handle the adulation, the shaking hands and kissing babies.
Yeah.
Ooh, by the way,
have
you been, Josh, you been to Waco?
No, I haven't.
All right. You have to get to Waco. You live, how far do you live from Waco, Josh?
I have no idea.
Come on. How far?
I don't know. I've never been to Waco.
It's not like that far. It's like, minutes. It's, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
You got to go there. Take a drive down to Waco. It's nice. Take a drive down, and then you'll be like, how the hell did this dude do
right. that? Right. Yeah.
It is not Austin.
And you don't have, I know he's super nice, but Lexington is, you know, it's a red state. It's very conservative in that way. That's interesting. I never thought of that. Okay, a couple other guys that might jump.
I mean, like Chris Holtmann, because he's from the area and his family, they grew up Kentucky fans. I think Chris is a great, great coach. He'd mm-hmm. be somebody. I don't know if he'd be able to handle the Kentucky. Like, it's a lot. You know right. that. Like, it's right. a lot. Like, I love Chris. And again, like, he'd know what he was getting himself into. But he's been at Ohio State where, let's face it, nobody gives a shit really about hoops.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to think who else.
I think I just go back a Brinks truck up to Jay Wright's house and try to talk him out of
he already said no. He's only going to the Sixers, in my opinion. That'd be like the only place if Doc fails this year, something happens in Philly and it blows up, I could see after a year off Jay Wright maybe doing that deal. I just had another name that hit me and I can't remember who it is now. But I just had a third name that I thought Beard. Like, could you get Beard from Texas?
That's what I was going to ask you. I was going to ask you that.
Yeah.
That's Beard, he's an outgoing guy and a great coach.
Yes. Have you hung out with him yet?
No, I haven't. No. I haven't, but I will. He put us on a little text chain together. Well, I'm not going to call him like, no.
No. What have you been doing other than this pod? That would prohibit you from
takes up so much time.
What am I going to call him and be like, hey, I'd like to go hang out with you, coach, because I like basketball.
Listen, he will let you. I'm not kidding. He'll let you watch film with him. And now you have to be in. It's going to be a long, long night. You got to understand. There'll be some alcohol consumed. And you'll not get in there till 2 or 3 in the morning.
You had me at alcohol.
You had him. He's in now.
No way. Because there'll be people that say, because, you know, they all shoot for the stars. Like, what about Brad Stevens?
Yeah, I just Brad Stevens would be horrible at Kentucky. I think it'd be a horrible fit.
His personality, like being the governor. But he's
no part of it. Wants no part of being bothered everywhere he goes. It would be miserable. He would never.
Yeah.
He would be a horrible fit. Terrible.
Good to know. Good to know.
Jeff,
I don't think it'd be a great fit even in Indiana, which is probably his dream college job.
Right, right.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. Jeff, what's your favorite movie all time?
Gladiator. No doubt. Not even close. I can watch Gladiator. I'm not a guy who can watch movies over and over and over. I can watch Gladiator over and over. It's probably the only one that you can tell, like, every time it comes on. Every time.
Fantastic.
I can see that. Look, you're hyped now. I can see you watching that and running through a wall.
I'm hyped because I'm talking to you guys. And I mean this. Listen, I mean this sincerely. Two of my favorite people, period, I've ever met doing this. I consider myself fortunate to meet both of you guys and call you friends. Man. No, I mean it. I mean it. Listen.
That's really nice.
As you get older, I get more emotional these days than I ever was.
Yeah, me too.
Right? You get older, mm-hmm. and when I said goodbye to my daughter, we did a video. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I did a video.
Oh, yeah.
From outside Assembly Hall, and I'm like, I'm going to be able to keep this shit together. I'm going to be tough. I'm going to say goodbye. We're going to have some fun, though. We're going to do a video because she wants to get into what I'm doing. Uh-huh. And I couldn't do it, man.
No.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful, though. You know?
I guess. I mean.
It is beautiful. We've had to drop off four kids now at different times after they leave, and it's
brutal.
It's brutal.
Does it get any easier?
It's happy. Yes. It does. But it's brutal.
Okay. Front row center to watch any band or performer or dead or alive. Front row center.
I mean, you probably say, like, if I ever could have watched Elvis. That would be cool.
Plus, you've already been on the Cougar Town set and watched me work.
That's right.
It's amazing.
I've been there and done it.
Yeah, okay, understandable.
I would say, like, U2. I love watching U2.
Fantastic.
Puts on a show. Like, just the energy you feel. I listen, guys, I'm a big theater guy. I've seen the show Rent probably 12 times.
Really?
Really?
We just saw it locally here in Portsmouth, New Hampshire about a month ago. And it was fantastic. Awesome. Like, they did a great job. I've probably seen it on Broadway 7 or 8 times, dating back to when I lived in New York. They did these like $20 student front row tickets. So my wife and I would get there early, put our name in for the lottery. And we probably hit on that maybe 3 times. Les Mis. God,
that's great. Love.
That is Evan Hansen. Like, I love, those are probably my top 3 shows of all time.
Who'd have thunk it? Who'd have thunk it? I know.
Hamilton would be in the top 4. Sorry.
I've seen maybe 3 plays, Jeff, ever. Hamilton's one. Took my daughter a couple years ago. I've got to do more of that. I'm in Brooklyn. Love it. Awesome. I love it. Yeah. We had no way to do this growing up in rural Kentucky.
Well, that's, you know, the thing. So I'm in Boston.
Just, yeah.
We did it.
It's just something that I completely, you know, passed me by. And it's probably
but it hasn't, Josh, a little Rex, bit too. Your kids are at an age now. I say this to everybody now. Now, I only have 1, so it's easier. You have 4, and it's harder for you to do. But I say this to everybody now who's got kids that are a little bit younger. Because I did this the last 8 or 10 years. Take your kid, if you can, now you got 4, take each one separately overnight, because the memories, not just for them, it's selfishly. Yeah. Like, I took my daughter to Niagara Falls. I would take her to Broadway. The last couple of years, it was sporting events. She's a big Carolina Hurricanes hockey fan. Took her down there for playoff game. It's selfishly, like, for me.
Yeah, I get
memories
it.
For us, Rex, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. The best. Jeffrey Neal Goodman, come back and see us during the season, will you?
Done. I got to get you on my pod, all right?
I'm in.
That's the return. The return deal is you guys got to come on mine.
Anytime you want.
Yeah, anytime for sure. You want. Jeff, this Thanks, has Jeff. Been a ball. This has been a ball. Love you Thank guys. You. Yes.
I love you guys.
Much
you
love, Jeff. Much
Anything
love.
You need. And hopefully I'll see you at some point, in Lexington. We never – yeah, I feel like – We
It'll
gotta
probably be at the final.
You guys gotta let me know when you're going.
It'll probably be at the final.
And when you'll be in Austin this year.
I'm gonna get to Austin.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm gonna work it around you being there this time though.
Perfect. Yes, sir. Yes,
right.
sir.
Perfect. Done. All right, Jeff. Hi to Tyler.
Thanks, Ben.
Be well.
All right, buddy.
How much fun
Jeff
was that?
Goodman. Oh, did they? I looked at our clock and I was like, oh shit, we gotta go. I mean, we gotta talk to Jeff all after.
Yeah, and look at me. I was like, stop it, Rex. I got some questions. You shut your mouth.
You knew that our buddies were going to watch this later and they were going to give you shit for not asking any of the basketball
exactly.
questions.
Exactly. But I had to know more about what he thought about our squad. You make good points. I understand. Yeah. And then I really want to know some thoughts about if Cal were to, you know, just decide to quit.
No, what I love about Jeff, and he did a great job of explaining it, you know, his line of work is tough. You're covering athletes, and not only coaches are thin-skinned, but athletes are thin-skinned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you grow up and, you know, your local newspapers, they blow you up, your local. And then once you start playing in college, you know, you start getting a little, you know, people start chipping away at you a little bit. Well, when people like Jeff Goodman are covering you, mm-hmm. you know, he's got a platform and he's going to be honest about what he sees. And when I can remember, you know, he brought up a couple of instances where relationships have gone south. I remember going through that, like as a player, I'd see certain journalists in different cities who wrote a shitty article, you know, just said something about Chapman hurt him more tonight than he helped him or whatever that was that sticks. Right. Then you're just like, fuck that guy the next time you see him. Right. But it's basketball, it's sports. And over time, just like he said, over time, you know, we're too old to have these stupid grudges and whatnot. But it's tough, especially there are guys who kiss people's asses somehow. But Jeff's a guy who calls it like it is. And I really respect that.
Yeah. Yeah, I do, too. And you can tell through this, like, there's a narrative, especially in Lexington. You see him on Twitter and he won't, you know, hold back. People just don't like him. But there's no way someone would watch this pod right now and think, you know, that he would change a lot of minds. They still might hate everything he says, but you can tell he's just a sweet, genuine guy.
Yeah, there's no way. I don't think there's any way that if you like going out and having a beer, that you wouldn't like sitting for an hour and having a beer or two or four with Jeff Goodman, right? No,
yeah, there's.
I mean, what a good, just seems like a good soul.
Yep, yep. The way he lights up when he talks about his daughter, huh?
Earnest, just earnest and right there. Earnest and honest.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Well, that's a good one, Josh. You want to do it again next week?
You know I do.
You do?
I really
do. I see
do.
You got company. Yes. I'm going to let you go. All right. Okay. Oh, hey.
Say hi.
Hi.
Say hi, Jenny.
Say bye,
Jenny.
Say
hi to the world. Say bye,
we'll
Jenny.
See you soon. Next time for Rex Chapman and Josh Hopkins on The Rex Chapman Show with Super Dope Josh Hopkins. We'll see you back here next week on basketballnews.com.